Baghdad, Martinique, Singapore. At all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to prove you can sometimes hook the biggest fish of all right in the middle of a freight train. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me.
Steve, ever been on the road to Mandalay?
Many times. Vocally, that is. Used to be the theme song of our jolly fellows clam digging and marching society.
Yeah. Well, this time you're actually going to travel that road, Steve. On your way to meet an American newspaper man named Forrester.
What's it all about, Commissioner?
Lately, we've been concerned over the leak of strategic materials and equipment from this country. Materials originally intended for Indochina, Malaya.
You mean some of that equipment isn't getting there, huh?
Right. It's winding up in Burma, then being shipped on through the back door of China.
So how does this newspaper man fit into the picture?
Chris Forrester knows the Orient. He's been there for years, has many contacts. He got in touch with us last night, said he had certain information which might help us plug up that leak of supplies.
Okay, Commissioner.
Get over there, Steve. Talk with Forrester. Get to the organization behind all this and smash it. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Hit the road to Mandalay, check with a foreign correspondent there named Chris Forrester, and hope the information he has will help us plug up the leak of strategic materials and equipment. It's late Friday evening when my plane settles down in Rangoon. I check in at the Strand Hotel, but Forrester hasn't arrived. Seems the train from Mandalay is overdue. I head for the depot, and that's when I spot the gent in the white suit tailing me. The same gent who was standing near the hotel desk when I asked about Forrester. I try a fast maneuver to shake him, clever ruse number 37B, and it works. I wind up on the main street again and hail an approaching cab. Then, as I open the door, I realize clever ruse number 37B isn't so clever. The gent in the white suit is sitting in the back seat of the cab, and somehow I feel it wouldn't be smart to turn down its invitation.
Do get in, Mr. Mitchell.
Okay. Pretty fast on your feet, aren't you?
I think so. All right, driver. Ah. Now, I'd like to have a little talk with you, Mitchell.
Friendly talk?
But of course.
I might believe it if you took that hand out of your coat pocket.
May I ask what you want with Chris Forrester?
You may. Only I don't think you're going to get an answer.
In that case, your identification papers, please. Come, come, Mr. Mitchell.
Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, I see. My apologies, Mr. Mitchell.
What's this all about?
Well, perhaps you'd best look at my credentials. There you are.
Ben Grayson. Chief Investigator, Southeast India Insurance Company, Melbourne.
You see, Mr. Mitchell, my company is interested in Forrester, too, in the work he's doing. We wouldn't want anything to happen to him. We're counting on him for some very valuable information.
Oh?
And we're willing to pay for it. As a matter of fact, I have a check in my pocket for him. £2,000, a small bonus.
And this information is in regard to...
the hijacking of freight insured by our company. We handle a good many firms in this area, Mr. Mitchell, and the company's been taking an awful beating in the past 6 months. The bosses have been on my neck, wanting me to do something about the situation.
Job hanging by a thread?
No, not exactly, but it does make a chap look bad, doesn't it? Well, I've had some luck. Picked up a few operators, small fry, Bush League pirates and the like. Forrester seems to be on the right trail, though. He's after the big wheel, the power behind a gigantic organization operating in this area.
That's why I'm here, Grayson.
Well, as they say, glad to have you aboard.
Ten minutes later, we pull up at the railway station. While Grayson goes off to inquire about Forrester's train, I take a quick stroll around the depot. Seems to be an awful lot of activity about for this time of night. A lot of people milling around, workmen mostly, and two platoons of government troops are headed along the loading platform. I watch as they pile aboard the waiting train.
Steve? Steve?
Yeah, what is it, Grayson?
Trouble. Plenty of it. The night train from Mandalay, the one Forrester was on.
What about it?
Guerrillas attacked it 30 miles out of Centeo, derailed it.
What?
Robbed the passengers, left three of them dead.
Oh, great.
The report didn't say who they were. Do you think one of them might be Forrester?
Well, let's find out. This, I take it, is the relief train?
Yes, leaving in a few minutes.
Okay, let's latch on. Grayson and I are aboard as the relief train pulls out of the depot, picks up speed, rolls northward toward Mandalay. Hours later, we watch the dawn come up, not across any bay, and not like thunder, but quietly, hot, sticky. Then finally, we arrive at the scene of the wreck. The locomotive, looking like a wounded bull elephant, lies sprawled across the tracks. Behind it, two passenger cars form a neat pagoda. First, we check the casualties. Two of them are natives. The third is the engineer. Grayson and I split up, start checking the passengers lined up on both sides of the track. No sign of Forrester. No one seems to remember him. That is, until I reach a short, heavy-set gent sporting an expensive, though badly wrinkled, tan gabardine suit.
American chap, you say? Tall, graying about the temples? Oh, yes. It seems to me, his name was,
Forrester.
Oh, yes. Hmm. We were in the same car. Spoke with him briefly.
Do you know where he is?
No. Should be about somewhere close by.
When did you see him last?
Oh, some time ago, before the attack, that is. Got into a small conversation with him regarding bicycles. I represent the Birmingham Thunderbolt. Excellent wheels, sir. Stout little machine and all that.
I'm sure. Thanks for that.
Oh, one moment, sir. Oh, Tala, would you pop over a moment, please? She might be able to help you, sir. Lovely girl, lovely. From Singapore. Don't know what she does, but whatever it is, she must do it well.
Yes. What is it, Mr. Perryman?
Oh, my dear. Gentlemen, I didn't get the name, sir.
Steve Mitchell.
Tala, Mr. Mitchell. My name is Perryman. Andrew.
How do you do, Mr. Mitchell?
Hi.
He's looking for a chap, friend of his, Forrester.
Oh, yes. The newspaper writer. A most charming gentleman.
Oh, quite. The point is, have you seen him?
Why, no. I haven't.
You were a friend of his, too?
We met on the train.
He did off rather well, eh, Maria?
Merely a pleasant conversation.
You were with him when the guerrillas attacked the train?
Yes. We heard shots, and then the train stopped suddenly. There was great confusion.
And Forrester, what happened to him?
I do not know. In all the excitement, he just vanished.
He could have got off the train, you think?
Yes. I thought of doing the same. Started to... But the rebels suddenly appeared and forced us to remain in the car.
Ghastly lot they were. I know a smattering of the Karen dialect. Managed to catch part of their conversation. I got the impression they were looking for someone in our car.
Yeah. Could be, Mr. Perryman. Could be. Thanks.
Steve.
Oh, Grayson, been looking for you.
I haven't had a bit of luck. How about you?
I haven't found Forrester, but I think I'm on to something.
Oh?
I've been talking with a couple of passengers who were in Forrester's car. I've got an idea. He's skipped out.
What?
Yeah. I think he knew it was something more than just a raid to grab supplies, that the guerrillas were after him, too.
So assuming Forrester ducked off this train...
He's probably out there somewhere, hiding in the jungle. Or if there's a village nearby, he might be headed for it. Let's find out. We do some fast checking. We find out that there is a village not too far away. We also find a native who will lead me through the jungle to it. Grayson stays on at the scene of the train wreck in the event that Forrester doubles back. I follow my native guide into the jungle. We don't get very far before we run into someone else on the trail.
Good morning.
Morning. You, lost?
Lost? Oh, but no, no. I was just out for a stroll. I understand it will be some time before the train is ready to take us on to Rangoon.
That's right. You were one of the passengers?
Yeah. My name is Herstal. August Herstal. I have a plantation near Mandalay. And you, Mynheer?
Oh, just a tourist. Name's Mitchell.
I see. And you, too, wish to stretch your legs, huh? The train ride is a tiring one, is it not?
Yeah.
I was about to return to the train. Shall we go back together?
Oh, no. My friend and I will push on a little further.
A word of caution, gentlemen. Do not venture too far. The jungle is treacherous.
Thanks for the advice, Herstal. We'll be careful. With a slight bow from the waist, Herstal turns, walks down the trail, and disappears from view. The guide and I push on, and the jungle gets thicker, the going rougher. Finally, I call a halt.
Why you want to stop? The village is only...
Just pipe down for a minute, Buster, and listen.
A bird of the jungle.
Anything else?
I do not hear it now. But before, I think there's somebody else on the trail.
Yeah, somewhere behind us, following us.
You stay here. I will go back and see.
No, you keep going along the trail and make some noise about it. I'll wait here.
Okay, you boss.
I ease off the trail and wait. I can hear the guide moving up ahead in the jungle. Then it's quiet. 5 minutes go by. 10. Nothing happens. I slip out of my hiding place, take off after the guide. I find him about 200 yards down the trail. He's dangling from the branch of a tree with a noose of vines around his neck. And he's dead. Cut the guide's body down from the noose of vines and bend over him. I bend just in time. Slug whistles over my back. I dive into the brush and hug the ground. There's no sign of the sniper anywhere. That's just the way I want to keep it. I circle on all fours toward the trail, finally reach it, take off in the direction the guide has told me the village is. Half an hour later, I reach the river. I start along the bank. And then I spot somebody kneeling by the edge. I ease up quickly. Sorry to startle you. I wasn't sure who it was. Doing the weekly washing?
Yes.
Look, Miss...
I am Anine.
Well, maybe you can help me, Anine. Have you seen a tall American around here lately? His name is Forrester.
No. There has been no American, but some guerrillas passed by here.
Guerrillas? How long ago?
Only a short while.
Probably beating the brush for Forrester. Well, this is just great. I've got guerrillas ahead of me and guerrillas behind me. Unless the sniper was one of the passengers from the train.
What?
Oh, skip it. Which way is the village from here?
That way.
Okay, I'll...
What is it?
Nothing. Thanks for the information. I walk out of her sight, and then I stop. Anina's given me more information than she realizes. In her pile of washing, I spot the cuff of a man's white shirt. and it doesn't look like the native type. I wait. Pretty soon, she comes along the trail, looking back to see if she's followed. I keep in the brush to one side of the trail and stay with her. She leads me to a hut, half hidden in the underbrush, and disappears inside. I wait a while. Then I pop in after her. A tall blonde guy stretched out on the mat sits up fast.
Hey!
He is the one I was telling you about.
Relax, Forrester.
Who are you?
Steve Mitchell, the guy who was supposed to meet you. Here's my credentials, Forrester.
Huh? Oh, brother, am I glad to see you. How'd you find me?
Spotted your shirt and the girl's washing.
She's trying to get the blood out of it.
Shoulder wound, huh?
Yeah, but not bad.
From the guerrillas?
Mm-hmm. When they jumped the train. I had a hunch they were after me as well as the supplies on the train, so when they raided it, I took off fast. That's when I collected the slug. They followed me, but the girl here hid me and patched me up. I guess she thought you were after me, too.
I did not know who you were.
Forrester, those people who got friendly with you on the train.
Perryman?
And the girl Tarver. Either one of them could have been planted there to put the finger on you for the guerrillas.
Yeah. That thought occurred to me, too, when I was on the run.
Or it might have been Herstal.
Who?
I ran into him in the jungle near the train. Said he was one of the passengers out for a walk. Remember meeting him on the train?
No.
Well, one thing's sure, we've got to get you out of here and back to the train fast.
In the village, one of the men have a small boat. I will go and talk to him. I am certain he will help.
We head downriver away and then double over to the train, huh?
Yes. The guerrillas do not bother with native boatmen, and you can both hide in the bottom under some covers. You remember the place at the river where I was washing clothes, Mr. Mitchell? Wait for me there.
Here's the spot Neen wants us to wait, Forrester.
Good. It didn't come any too soon.
Look, just in case we get separated, you better give me what information you have on this hijacking racket.
Right. The head man's a guy the natives call Lokai, but he's a white man.
Huh?
He's the string that holds all together. Without him, it'd collapse.
Do you know who this Lokai is?
3 nights ago, I got a quick glimpse of him in Mandalay at a payoff. They spotted me, and I had to get away fast. But I'd recognize him if I ever saw him again.
No wonder he's trying his best to have you knocked off. How does the racket work?
Well, the hijacked supplies and munitions are recreated and reshipped to dummy addressees on the coast of Burma. Non-existent planters, exporters, etc.
I see. And then what?
It's hauled across Burma to Mandalay and then flown by chartered plane into China. He has no trouble with the local rebels because he pays them off and they leave his shipments alone.
Sounds like that'd take a lot of dough.
Lokai doesn't use money. He pays them off in foodstuffs. That causes a food shortage in the big cities, so then he runs a black market.
Brother, he works all the angles, doesn't he?
Sure. For instance, 2 weeks ago, when the rebels blew up the water pipes that supply Rangoon, Lokai's boys moved in fast and did a big business selling water at so many annos a bucket.
This is one smart fellow we're talking about. Well, at least when we get back to the relief train, you can trade your information for £2,000, that insurance investigator.
Grayson? Yeah, I talked to him a couple of times last week in Mandalay. I guess he's on a spot with his company until his thing's cleared up. Well, I can sure use the dough.
Hold it.
Hmm?
On the river, just coming around the bend.
Small boat. That's Arneen in it, wearing men's clothes.
Yes, so it is. I wonder what happened to the boatman.
This is as close as I can come to the bank.
Okay. Let's go. Where's the boatman, Arneen?
He was sick, so he told me to take the boat.
I see. Here, Forrester, I'll give you a hand aboard.
Thanks.
Okay.
You had better get under the tarpaulin near the bow.
Right.
Stay under cover. There are many guerrillas in the area.
Right. There, that ought to hide us. We can see out of this torn place. Forrester.
Yeah?
She sure seems cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little too much so.
If the price in your head is as high as I think it is, she may be trying to collect it herself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe by taking us to the local guerrilla chief, Tuan Ko.
Just the same, we'd better play along for the time being. This boat's our best chance of getting out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, get down. Boat over there near the other side of the bank. 3 natives in it.
Guerrillas.
One boat, lay the Lord out. Power to the Lord, one boat.
Nam! Nam Nabu!
Lay the Lord out.
Nam de boo.
Great.
You understand any of it?
Enough to tell me who our friend Armin is.
Oh?
I told you the local guerrilla chief was Twanko. She's his sister.
What? Look, that other boat's out of sight. Let's get out of here before...
Steve, up ahead. That native bridge across the river.
Three guys perched up there with Tommy guns. And those boats on the bank. I think we're being taken to guerrilla headquarters. Yeah. Looks like we've drifted right into a nice little trap. I start to crawl out from under the tarp so I can grab the helm. But just as I stick my head out, something very hard hits me over the ear.
And I fall. You okay, Steve?
What? Oh, Forrester. Where are we?
Safely downstream, almost to the place where we get off.
What? Hey, what happened? The last I remember...
You got hit on the head. Arneen, you better fill him in.
I saw you start to crawl out from under the tarpaulin, Mr. Mitchell. I was afraid you would do something rash, so I hit you with this wrench to prevent them from seeing you.
You sure pack a mean wallop. Then you weren't going to turn us into the guerrillas.
Oh, no. It is true my brother is their leader... But it is also true I am opposed to what he is doing. I too wish freedom for my country, but not his way. And not when it means kidnapping and murder. I remember the war. There was so much bloodshed then.
You've got a good memory, Arneen. A lot better than most these days. Thanks. A couple of minutes later, she pulls the boat over to the bank and lets us out. We head through the brush in the direction of the train and Grayson.
It can't be far, Steve.
Pretty soon we spot it. They've hooked the passenger cars on behind the relief train. Then I see Perriman, Tava, and Herstal climb aboard one of the cars. We stay out of their sight. Any one of them could be the one who put the finger on Forrester.
Starting up.
We try to hurry, but Forrester's wound slows him down. I put him across my shoulders in a fireman's carry and take off after the train. And then I spot Grayson on a flat car on which a crane is mounted.
Hurry, Mitchell!
I come up beside the flat car, roll Forrester onto it, and I am aboard!
Good show, old boy.
Oh, for a minute, Grayson, I thought we were... Hey, why the gun?
Mitchell, don't you know who this is?
Sure, it's Grayson.
This is Lokai, boss of the hijacking racket.
What?
Quite right. Look, Forrester, you told me you talked to Grayson a couple of times last week. How come you didn't recognize him as Lokai then?
I talked to him on the phone.
Oh, great.
Great is right. I'm quite indebted to you, Mitchell, for dropping Forrester right into my lap. Now I can get both of you out of my ear at the same time.
My eyes flick up at the crane hanging overhead, then at the cable which leads down to the big hook resting on a box behind me. If I can get hold of it, it's our only chance. But Grayson is raising his gun, aiming right at me. Can't move quickly enough to do anything. But Forrester has been watching me, guessing what's in my mind. He moves slowly along the floor, reaches out suddenly, and grabs Grayson's leg. It isn't enough to topple a man, but it gives me that split second I need. I grab the hook, yank, and then jump aside as it swings past, catching Grayson. Thanks, pal.
Brother, he's out like a light.
Put out of business in more ways than one.
Quite an act he was putting on, the hard-working insurance investigator.
Yeah, it was quite an act, until it got broken up. Or rather, until he got the hook.
Dangerous Assignment. Starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another dangerous assignment.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.